New Services Division of Akashvani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening. Welcome to this edition of Northeast Diary, bringing you the latest developments of India's unexplored Northeast region. Today, we take you on a spiritual tour of temples of Tripura. We will also get to know about the customs and culture of our tribe of the Nagas. But for now, let's go over to Mau Lik Tong in Meghalaya, which is home of the awe-inspiring Living Root Bridges.
In the depths of northeastern India, in one of the wettest places on earth, bridges aren't built, they are grown. A bridge made of live roots of a banyan tree, now famous across the world. This unique living root bridge is found only in the East Khasi Hills of Meghalaya and nowhere else in the world. These bridges are nature's most unique bridges, structured and guided by men. By letting the live roots of a banyan tree grow and span across a river. In other words, it is a perfect harmony of man and nature, with man making use of nature without destroying it, but by nurturing and enhancing it to his benefit. After experiencing the bridge and looking at it from all directions, I was reminded of James Cameron's movie Avatar, which showcases a divine link between people, plants and animals of the planet as the very essence of survival. Historically, most of the villages in Meghalaya are linked with mud and stone footpaths, primarily to ensure free flow of betel nut from the hinterland to the state capital, Shillong, and beyond to the other parts of the northeast. These pathways still exist and are known as King's Way, although most have been turned into motorable roads or cemented footpaths. Since the Khasi Hills are interspersed with a labyrinthine network of rivers and streams, the necessity to cross these water channels by foot gave birth to the idea of route bridges to the Khasi people of yore. Resultantly, many living route bridges came into being in East Khasi Hills. One of the most unique and beautiful living root bridges is located over River Varthi Long in Ribai village, another clean village adjacent to Mau Lik Tong. There is no recorded history of these bridges, but it is estimated by the local inhabitants that they would most certainly be more than 1,000 years old, whereas the concept and the methodology of maintenance have been passed down from generation to generation. A natural engineering feat of distinction, the only one of its kind in the world. Construction of these bridges is a long-term process, spanning over decades and definitely planned for the future generation. The village elders either select existing banyan trees, the Indian banyan, East India fig tree, Ficus bengalensis, on either side of the chosen stream or river, or select sites to plant such trees with long bamboo poles on either side of the chosen stream or river, or select sites to plant such trees while long bamboo poles are placed across the water body connecting the two plantations on each bank. As the roots begin to emerge from the trees over the years, these are gently entwined and guided along the bamboos. After what seems to be ages, the roots grow and intertwine along the bamboo poles and start growing towards the center. As the process starts maturing and the roots become stronger over the years, small and medium-sized stones are carefully placed along with mud plaster in the gaps of the growing roots along the footways. As the roots keep growing, they are further intertwined and guided over the sides to make firm and beautiful handrails for the safety of travelers. When the footways are ready, people start walking carefully while taking care to pick up stray roots and guide them towards the main bridge in the making. The maintenance and further development of these living bridges is the responsibility of the village community under the village headman. Everyone in the village takes care to ensure the bridges are well maintained, routes are continuously guided, and it is never overburdened. Needless to say, that cleanliness of the bridge and the water body is almost spiritual for the people of Maulinong. Only with such devotion and commitment can such unique and beautiful ideas be possible.
Nagaland is a state of India lying in the hills and mountains of the northeastern part of India. It is one of the smaller states of India. The Nagas consist of 16 major tribes as well as numerous sub-tribes, and each one has a specific geographic distribution. The Naga tribes lack a common language and each tribe has its own dialects. One of the major tribes of Nagaland, whose settlements are spread across the Mokokchung district in northeast Nagaland, bordering Assam. Arsua Ao explains the salient features of Ao tribe.
My name is Arsua Ao. Originally, Aos are coming from this Chunglimdi site, that is in the Burmese site. So we catered there and make this district, Mokokchung district. And Mokokchung district, all the Aos are inhabited there.
Tradition says that the Aos sprung up from Lang Trok, which means six stones. They then founded the Chungli Miti village, where they settled and stayed for a considerable period of time. In course of time, they crossed the Diku River by a cane bridge, leaving other people behind. These people, the Aos, who went ahead leaving others behind, came to be known as Aur or Ao, which means going or gone.
Our uniqueness is now in modern world, it can be said that the literacy rate is very high.
Agriculture is the major occupation of the Ao tribe.
Main occupation is cultivation only. Agrarian economy is our tradition, the heat hunting. Heat hunting is the main during our forefathers' time. Rice is the major items, and we used to mix up with the rice. We cultivate this, diras cultivation. Besides rice, there's maize, millet, and then corn.
The Ao Nagas have a rich tradition of clothing, which besides fulfilling the decorative needs of the people also serves visually to distinguish the warriors and the commoner class.
Traditional dress we used to wear this by menfolk, it is the luin. we call it langdam. And then the one, this sakla is also there. This is the sakla. Yeah, of course. It is large, very much invaded in the modern society. And nowadays, all the children did not know the meaning of the forefathers, how they have come like that. So they are largely influenced by the modern world.
Prominent village institution is the morung, a communal house or dormitory for young unmarried men, where skulls and other trophies of war formerly were hung.
This is the au morung, where in a morung, all the boys used to gather here and make program for the daily course. So here in the morung, we used to display all our ornaments and then the head gears, but of course all the materials are here. And especially this young age peers, they are the sentry, a sentinel of the village. They used to gather here, make program, and all daily and every day they used to guard the village from the enemies like that. And this is the morung one.
Tribe has its festivals and Naga dance, music, song and folklore all express an exuberant concern for life.
We have two major festivals. One is Muatse and another is the Tsengermo. And Muatse is invoking a blessing from our god, that is Lijaba, to bless the field for this agricultural item we have sown. No? According to the village, different types of this songs are there. And tune is also quite different from one another. And it is all reflected in the Lijaba blessing. Forefathers' time that the music is quite different. Nowadays, all the boys and girls used to sing this Hindi songs and then the modern rock song like that.
Mela ayam kandang
famous for a large number of temples of Hindus and Buddhists, where one can get to experience a very peaceful and tranquil atmosphere. Temples of Tripura, with their beautiful architectural design and calm and tranquil settings, offer a suitable option for pilgrimage. Tourists and devotees from all corners of the world visit the Tripura temples, which are reputed for their grand design and attractive sculptures. Let's embark on the journey of temples of Tripura with our special correspondent, Soma Basu.
The princely state of Tripura is considered to be the Gomukh of Northeast. Gomukh, that is an auspicious emblem. Tripura is a political entity as well, with legends tracing its existence to the days of epic Mahabharata. It is also the ancient land of mysterious past. It has ever been a melting pot for tribal and non-tribal cultures, producing an exotic cultural synthesis. Having a romance about itself, Tripura fascinates one with the antiquity of the land and the charm of its picturesque landscape. It has flourished as a repository of ancient religion and culture for centuries, and thus claims a prominent place in the tourist map of the country. We begin our pilgrimage from Udaipur, some 55 kilometers away from Agartala, which is the capital of Tripura. It houses the temple of Tripura Sundari, considered to be one of the 51 pithas mentioned in the Hindu Tantras. This Kali temple, popularly known as Mata Bari, crowns the Kalyan Sagar hillock with a wide expanse of water on its east. Consisting of a square-type sanctum, so typical of Bengali huts, the Mata Bari is served by the red-robed priests who traditionally minister to the Mother Goddess. A large fair is held every year during Diwali in October-November. It is known that the temple was first constructed by Maharaja Dhanya Manikya in 1501 AD. It was repaired by Maharaja Rama Manikya in 1681 AD when it was damaged by lightning, and again by Maharaja Radha Kishorpur Manikya in the beginning of the century. According to an inscription note on the monuments in the Tripura state visited by the Director General Archaeology of India in 1952, there are two identical images of Tripura Sundari inside the temple. The one called Chotima appears to be the original and measures about 2 feet, while the other is about 5 feet. It is difficult to date the image of Chotima accurately as it is worn out. Moreover, the attributes in her hands are either too much blurred or lost. The inspection note also observes that Goddess Tripura Sundari, being the tutelary deity of the Tripura Raj, seems to have been brought by these rulers and may perhaps be dated to the 16th century AD, even on grounds of style. For it has the four-armed goddess standing in Sthanaka pose on the body of Shiva. She wears the Jatamukuta, a Munda Mandala consisting of 13 human skulls. Beyond this age-old temple, there is a big tank called Dhani Sagar, the abode of old tortoises, looking forward to pilgrims for food offerings. It is said, when any of these wise tortoises is to die, it approaches the altar of the temple and breathes its last there. Another Shakta temple worth paying a visit is Kasba Kali Bari. Like the Tripura Sundari temple of Udaipur, Kasba Kali Bari is also situated on a hillock overlooking a wide pool of water called Kamala Sagar. Here, of course, the order is reversed. That is to say, the tank is older than the temple. An interesting sandstone image of the goddess resembling Dashabhuja Durga or Mahisasur Mardini is erroneously worshipped as a Kali due to the presence of a Shivalinga at its feet. Now, this is considered to be a rare evidence in the field of Hindu iconography, and the image is assigned to 15th century AD. Famous not only from the pilgrim's point of view, the Jagannath Temple in Agartala is a remarkable architectural feat with its octagonal base and its impressive Pradikshina path around the sanctum. The pillars are crowned by a square pyramidal cone arising above a multifoil niche which comes at the level of the terrace. It is indeed a connoisseur's delight. However, the cynosure of all eyes is also the other Jagannath temple at Udaipur. On the southwest bank of the famous Jagannath Dighi, in the heart of the Udaipur town, which was once the capital of Tripura, is found the ruins of Jagannath temple, a rare specimen of temple architecture in Tripura. There are two schools of thought regarding the temple here. According to Udaipur Bibaran, Daitya Narayana, the general-in-chief of Maharaja Vijaya Manikya in 1529 to 1560 AD, brought the image of Lord Jagannath from Puri and installed it here. This image was afterwards removed from this temple and kept at Komila. But according to the author of Silalipi Samagraha, the temple was built and dedicated to Vishnu, jointly by Maharaja Govinda Manikya and his younger brother Jagannath Deva in 1661 AD. In a style characteristic of Mohammedan fashion, the Jagannath temple is a typical temple with a vertical portion built of stone and the top crowned with a dome with vaulted roof. Old Agartala is still visited by a good number of pilgrims every year on the occasion of Karchi Puja in July at the temple of Chaturdas Devata, which was built here when the 14 deities were removed from Udaipur. The temple, just 5 miles away from Agartala town, represents a combination of Hindu faith and tribal cults. The images represent only the heads of the gods and goddesses worshipped, who have been identified with Shiva, Durga, Vishnu, Lakshmi, Vani, Samudra, Ganga, Agni, Kamadeva and Himadri. Made of an alloy of 8 metals and regarded as the presiding deities of the royal house, they are attended and worshipped only by the tribal priest of the Tripuris and not the Brahmin Chantais. There is a richly engraved throne in the temple on which normally 3 of the god heads are enshrined, and it is only during the Karchi Puja that all the 14 gods are brought in the open for worship in public. The oldest ruins of this region are to be found at Unkoti, about 200 kilometers from Agartala. Huge figures of the Hindu deities and epic characters have been found carved on both sides of a meandering hill rack emerging from bushes. An awesomeness fills the atmosphere as one journeys through this grand panorama of picturesque hills at the background and confronts the colossal figures of Hindu pantheon cut out of rocks. The hilly Tirtha Unkoti, which means one less than a crore, is a holy shrine reckoned as one of the most sacred pilgrimages to eastern India. According to the archaeological report, Unkoti is a Saivya pilgrimage at least from the 8th or 9th century. The images on the rocky walls of the hills here are mainly of 2 types, rock-carved figures and stone images. Among the rock-carved figures, the central Shiva head and the enormous Ganesha figure deserve a special mention. Among the other images which leave an indelible impression in the mind for their fine execution are the Chaturmukha and Trimukha lingas, which are worshipped at an elevation of Unkoti Hills. The 3 faces of Shiva are carved on the 3 sides of his Rudra Bhaga and the back face is damaged. Yet another image of the linga bears 4 well-carved figures shown up to the waist on the 4 sides of its Puja Bhaga. The 11th or 12th century image of Ekamukha Linga is placed on the upward slope of Unkoti Hills. The shape of this linga is spherical and the face of Shiva is carved on it. At the top of the hill, images of Vishnu, Panchamukha, Ravana, Narasimha, seated Ganesha, Hanuman, etc. are found. There are many more images which are yet to be identified, but images having stamp of many known and obscure religious cults tend to prove that though initially started as a center of Saivya pilgrimage, other religious sects did not lag behind in the art of rock carving at Unkoti in view of its outstanding religious importance. The South Tripura district has many important places to visit. Radhakishorpur, formerly known as Udaipur, stands on the left bank of River Gumti. The ruins of the old palace of Govinda Manikya Bahadur and the famous Bhubaneswar temple situated there are now surrounded by dense jungles. However, the palace and the temple have been immortalized through Tagore's famous plays, Rajarshi and Bishorjun. On the right bank of River Gumti is the Tripureshwari temple. It is a Satipitha, a place where parts of Sati's dismembered body were said to have fallen. A myth goes that right leg of Sati fell there. The Benu Bana Bihar, a Buddhist temple in Agartala, bears testimony to the fact that from the years of yore, Tripura has been extending hospitality and patronage to the religion and culture of its neighbors. The quiet temple and the monastery on a picturesque setting is indeed an embodiment of serenity. The 3 temples constituting the Mahadeva Bari are erected in a well-defined enclosure. The sanctum of the temple is circular from the base, and in that respect, it differs from the temples of the Gunavati group and neighboring shrines of Udaipur. This temple was built in 1672 AD. The hydroelectric power station at Dumbur Lake near Nootan Bazaar is also a holy place of visit. 73 miles from Agartala, the source of Gumti is mainly a pilgrimage for both the tribals and the non-tribals who flock the place every year on the occasion of Posh Sankranti in the month of January for a holy dip in the placid water of the Dumbur Lake. The place, unique for its scenic beauty, is also the site for a large fair where the tribal population make annual purchases for their families. The Peak of the Gods, or Deota Mora as it is called, is an extensive range of hills situated in between Udaipur and Amarpur subdivisions. This has become a place of tourist interest owing to a panel of images found carved on the hills facing River Gumti. It is really astonishing to see such a good number of images carved high up on the steep rocky wall of the hill covered with thick jungles. The images are no doubt crude in conception like those at Udaipur, but may not be so antique. So, that was Tripura, the enchanting land of delectable range of temples.
Gor Geet, Songs Celestial, are a collection of lyrical songs that are set to specific ragas. These songs, composed of Srimanta Shankara Deva and Mahadeva in the 15th and 16th centuries, are used to begin prayer services in monasteries. Zatra, that is Satara, and Namghar associated with the Ekasharna Dharma, and they also belong to the repertoire of music of Assam outside the religious context. These are written in ancient Assamese, which is a mix of Maithili, Braj Boli and regional dialects. Here we bring you a soulful Assamese Bhor Geet by Papon. With that, we come to the end of this edition of Northeast Tare. Do join us next week to hear more stories from this enchanting part of India. Until then, goodbye.
Was scripted and presented by Lucy G. Chattopadhyay, produced by Vinita Thakur with assistance from Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the News Services Division of Akashwani.